You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's the Friday edition of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm Chris Carter here with Ray Fittipaldo here in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. We got a chance to talk to Steelers GM Omar Khan. We'll break down the most important things he said and our opinions and responses to what he said and how that's going to impact the Steelers' plans moving forward. All that here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast. A show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm Chris Carter. He's Ray Fittipaldo. We both write for the Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com for all of the written work there. Ray's been doing a lot of great work writing about the Combine. We've been tag teaming with Jerry Dulac. It's been a fun trip and all, but Steelers GM Omar Khan spoke, so we're going to get into that shortly. As a reminder, this show is also always brought to you by My Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, it's right on the North Shore, on Federal Street, right across the street from PNC Park. They were 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap every single day. But let's get into the Omar Khan talk here, Ray. And I think the biggest highlight that was definitely talked about was the quarterback situation, acknowledging like, hey, we only got one quarterback under the roster. He said several different items that I thought were important, to at least hold on to. Now, a reminder, when GMs and everybody's talking here at these things, they're trying to give you non-answers. Their responses aren't always answers, quote unquote, because they're not trying to tip their hand to the world as far as what their plans are, because when people know their plans, then they can get in the way of them. So a lot of these aren't going to be like emphatic statements that tell what they're going to do, but you can read between the lines. Now, addressing quarterback, he said they have, quote unquote, have full faith in Kenny Pickett, but he also said that they're looking to bring in competition. He also said that they've spoken to Mason Rudolph's representatives about what could happen there. He discussed so many different other options. The one thing I thought was interesting, Ray, was he kind of laughed at like, when the Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins questions were brought up. And I thought it kind of showed that, like, hey, the obvious thing here is this is confirming the Steelers aren't just giving up on Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus the fact that the owner has now said they want Mason Rudolph back. Mike Tomlin said that, and now the GM said it too. So that's their other priority, is to get Mason Rudolph to be the backup. But, yeah, I mean, Chris, we've said it all along. They want and need to find out about Kenny Pickett this coming season. Mike Tomlin has referred to it as a huge year. It's a make-or-break year. He's either going to be this team's starter going forward, or they're going to have to start the process over again next season and try to find a new quarterback to lead them into the future. So this was always going to be the case. I know there's been a lot of outside noise about this guy and that guy and trades and, free agency and, everything. But from the day the season ended and we heard Mike Tomlin talk about it and he told us the starter was in the building, we knew that this was going to be Kenny Pickett's team. So everything else that happens between now and the draft, even after the draft, it's all about, is Mason Rudolph going to be the backup? And then if so, If he is, that's fine. You got to go out and find a number three. If Mason's not going to be the backup, you got to go out and find yourself, a Ryan Tannehill or somebody like that to go into the season with.
Now, here's another thing here, Ray. Omar Khan talked about the want for competition. He said he even brought up how he said that last year. That's a big focus there. But, you know, he said it last year, and it wasn't a real quarterback competition in last year's training camp. You know, Mike Tomlin acknowledged that they want to bring in competition, and it will, you know, it can be a competition in training camp for Kenny Pickett. When they have that next season, or when they go back to Latrobe in August. But if we're reading into that, okay. But if this is Kenny Pickett's team, is that just a word salad about that, or do you think it's actually going to be a competition next year?
No, I think there's going to be a competition. I don't think you want to hand Kenny Pickett anything. I think that would be a bad look, Chris, especially
agreed.
After the way Mason Rudolph played at the end of the season. You know, people aren't stupid. They could open up the stat sheet just like you and I can. Mm-hmm. They can look at the yards gained. They can look at the points scored when Mason Rudolph was the quarterback. And then they can look at what Kenny Pickett did, and there was a stark difference. So, now listen, it's a new offense now. You know, maybe Mason Rudolph had a better grasp of Matt Canada's playbook. So it's a totally new deal now going forward. They're both going to be learning a new offense. But, you don't want to hand Kenny Pickett anything. You want him to earn it. You want him to work hard. I think competition makes everyone better. I know it's a cliche, but it really does. I think when you want everyone to sort of be, to be on point as the season gets started. So, you know, if Kenny Pickett wins that job, fine, he's your starter. That's great. But if Mason Rudolph is clearly the better quarterback in the spring and summer, I think Omar and Mike and all those guys owe it to the players in that locker room to put the best player on the field so they can win games this year.
And he also talked to Omar talked about Arthur Smith and, you know, his impact and how much things might change or, you know, not as much change, but just kind of you'll become more pointed in the right direction. What was your readout as far as him talking about Arthur Smith? Because I think that is the first time we've gotten a chance to talk to him or anyone, you know, about Arthur Smith.
Yeah. So, you know, he mentioned a couple of times, I think there was a question posed to him. Has Arthur Smith in his new offense, has that changed your approach to scouting these players in the draft or free agency? And Omar said it does a little bit, but it's not, you know, they didn't really tear apart what they're doing and redo their draft. So that tells me that Arthur's going to have a little bit of influence maybe on not the players that they draft, but maybe the types of players that they draft, right? So maybe there's a certain right. – maybe when Arthur Smith came in, he knew he needed a big center who can hold the line of scrimmage, and Mason Cole wasn't that fit. So they go, okay, Mason, we're going to release you. We got to go out and find a big center over 300 pounds who can hold that line of scrimmage. And that's the type of guy I want in my middle of my offense. And you can project that out anywhere. I mean, I know we're reading between the lines here, but the fact that Omar didn't come out and say, we're going to pick up the fifth-year option on Najee Harris, what does that mean? Is that just deference to Arthur Smith because he wants Arthur to have some say-so in that? Or are they still really trying to figure that out? I mean, to me, we've talked about this since the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why wouldn't you pick up? It's a cheap option.
Exactly.
It's like less than $7,000. So unless he's not a fit for Arthur Smith's offense, they're going to pick up that option and he'll be on the roster in 2025 too. So again, I mean, that perked my ears up a little bit, but like you said at the top, Chris, I don't want to read too much into anything Omar said today. He just could be, you know, playing his cards close to the vest for whatever reason when he's talking about Najee and the rookie option.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing there. And yeah, I think it's like $6-something million that like it would be. And that, again, that's like nothing nine, for
– yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're fine. Like that. That's they, I think they can be patient about that. And he even said we have until May. And also like the Steelers are doing a lot right now. They've hired a lot of new staff. Like this, they've had to make a lot of moves. They got a new offensive coordinator, a lot of new coaching positions while they're still scouting and looking for guys. Sometimes certain things that you kind of know are going to happen get put on the back burner. Like, for example, Mike Tomlin's extension. When is that coming? It's coming. It's going to take time. But like, you know, maybe Najee Harris's fifth-year extension, maybe something they know that they want to do. And it's not like they have to negotiate with them. It's just like, hey, we're using it, and that's that. And so I think that that's part of what's going on there. There was one thing, though, that Omar Khan said that I thought was very – that was a little bit more telling than others when he was trying to give his non-responses to a lot of things, or not non-answers to a lot of the questions we gave him. We'll talk about that here on the other side of this first break here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, as we said, it's right next to PNC Park. You can't miss it. It's the best bar because it has so many beer options, and it's a great place to watch sports with great food as well. Mike's Beer Bar, you go in there, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And every single day, they're switching new ones in and out so that you get new options. You never get bored of trying different beers at Mike's Beer Bar. And on top of that, they have great food like steak on a stone, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone, so that every single piece that you cut off and you press into the stone, you choose how well done you want every single bite of your steak. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today and experience the best bar in Pittsburgh. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, let's talk about center real quick, because Omar Khan's, by the way, if you want to see all the responses, the reason we're not like clipping them in is because we put together both his talking availabilities at the combine, both privately with us at the Conrad Hotel, and then also publicly at the podium at the combine. So if you want to see everything that Omar Khan said, it's fully and available on YouTube, on the Post-Gazette's YouTube page. So go check that out. But Ray, I thought it was interesting when he was asked about the center position, because, you know, they let go Mason Cole, which kind of put them in the position where they don't have a starting center on their roster right now. And he brought up like, hey, you know, Herbig, and then he said there's other experience in the offensive line with, you know, being able to play center, obviously referencing James Daniels. But it was also kind of like there was a follow-up, and I think it was Jerry's follow-up that was like, yeah, but like, you know, starting caliber centers, like guys that do that. And I didn't feel like Omar Khan gave a very strong response about that. I didn't think that he kind of was like, listen, like we're not worried about that as much as other things. I felt like there was a bit of a concession where it was like, yeah, they're going to go get a center pretty early in this draft, or get one in free agency who's going to be a difference maker.
Yeah, although he did mention Nate Herbig twice. He doubled down.
He did say that.
He doubled down on Nate Herbig on Jerry's follow-up. Now, that could mean two things. That could mean that they honestly, truly believe that Nate Herbig can be a stopgap center if they don't go out and get a center in the first or second round this year. Or it could mean, hey, message to all the 31 other GMs. Maybe we're not interested in a center. Maybe he's trying to put the smoke screen out there that they really do like Nate Herbig, and that's why, you know, he's mentioning his name. So you never want to telegraph what you're going to do. They don't want to broadcast it to the world that they're going to take, Jackson Powers Johnson with the first pick, or Zach Frazier, or whatever their plans are. So, you know, maybe that's why they're trying to, you know, to get Herbig and maybe Daniels or whoever else out there, that they actually have a center. So that's one way to look at it. The free agency thing, I'm not really enthralled with any of the centers in free agency. I think, again, you would be getting stopgap guys there. So to me, it's figuring out the value of where these guys fit on your board. So Jackson Powers Johnson, a lot of people are putting him into the middle, the first round, like 15 to 25. That's where he is. I think that's pretty much a consensus if you look at it. But I was looking at Lance Zierlein's. He does the big board for NFL.com.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Powers Johnson is probably in the 30s on his list. He has almost every single tackle, left and right tackle, graded above Powers Johnson. So it all depends on where Andy grades these guys. You know, if he has a right tackle who's significantly graded better than Powers Johnson on his board, they're going to take the tackle and they'll worry about the center later. So, and that's a risk, you know, because you don't know if Zach Frazier is going to fall. You don't know Graham Barr. You don't know how any of these guys are going to go off the board. But, you know, we say this all the time. You got to be true to your board. You can't reach for guys, and you certainly can't reach for centers when they traditionally don't get drafted that high. So, you know, it's a topic we're going to be discussing for seven more weeks here. I honestly don't know if there's any more clarity coming out of the combine about what it's going to be. The one thing I do think now, as we sit here today before free agency, Chris, center, right tackle, or corner, those are going to be – one of those three is going to be the first-round pick. I really can't see any other position. So we'll see what happens in free agency. But as we sit here right now, I think those are the three positions you're looking at there at number 20.
I feel you on that. And I think that makes that's just what's being said here. And I'll dip into, because I was saving this for the third segment, but we'll start it here and we can carry it over to the third segment. But also, you know, Omar Khan was asked about Broderick Jones and is he going to be a right tackle or do you want to move to left tackle? And he said, we drafted Broderick Jones to be a left tackle. And he said, maybe not right away, but eventually he's going to be the left tackle. And I think that was one of the stronger statements I thought he made in either of the availabilities that he had on Thursday. And to me, that's a sign that's like, okay, so there's a lot of right tackles that are first round grades in this draft that could be, you know, starter capable. And to me, like you said, if those guys rank above Jackson Powers Johnson or whoever you got at center, that says a lot. I think that opens the door there.
So, Chris, we got a non-answer from Mike Tomlin after the season ended about Broderick Jones. He basically said he could play right, he could play left. That's all we got out of him. There's actually a lot of insight there because Omar Khan said, this guy's a left tackle.
Yeah.
So it does. As you sit back here, you know, these first-round picks are under contract for 4 years, 5 years if you like him, you pick up the option. What sense does it make to play the number 14 overall pick in his first two seasons out of position? So for me, that tells me they're going to do everything in their power to make sure he's on the left side this year. And, you know, it's easy, Chris, if you draft a tackle with 20, or if you draft a tackle in the second round that you think can start right away, that solves all your problems. But if you don't, I don't think they're hamstrung. You know, you can see if Dan Moore can play on the right side. I don't think he can. I don't think they think he can, but go back to training camp. Spencer Anderson's best position, where he played the most in training camp.
Very good point.
Was tackle. They kept Spencer Anderson on the roster all season. He didn't go up and down to the practice squad. They liked him. They wanted to develop him. So, you know, we're all kind of fixated on, you know, first round tackle, this and that. But just keep Spencer Anderson's name in mind here. I think he could be a possibility. If they don't get a starter in the first or second round in this draft, I think he's a possibility for a guy who could fight for that job in OTAs and then in training camp.
I certainly think that would be very interesting to see. And Brian Bacco and I talked about this, I think maybe a week or two ago, about who are some players that are lower level roster guys that weren't seeing a lot of playing time, who could step up into more significant roles for the Steelers. Spencer Anderson, right tackle. Hold on to that one. That's a nugget of I think it's a little bit of fortune telling here from Ray Filippato. If and again, they still want to get a start like a starting right tackle from the draft. Like if J.C. Latham falls to 20, like okay, Spencer Anderson, go wait on the bench. But at the same time, like you know, if things don't work out that way, they have to be prepared for the contingency plan, and that'd be an interesting one. I want to talk about other plans that they have, including you know some of the positions, other positions they're talking about here on the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Filippato, stick with us. We'll be right back. Hello, and welcome back to the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Filippato, talking all things Steelers here at the Combine. It's been Combine week. We got a chance to talk to linebackers, and that's a position that Omar Khan kind of also dipped in a little bit here. Ray, I thought it was interesting what he said about Cole Holcomb and his injury. And, you know, again, didn't say anything super definitive, but the way that he answered the question about his injury maybe tipped a little bit of the Steelers' hand, like, hey, linebacker is a concern they have to be careful of.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can't remember the exact word, but he said it was a severe injury. I mean, anytime you hear that, you know it's not a typical nine-month ACL recovery where he potentially can be there in week one. I don't think that's going to be the case. Omar's words were something to the effect of, we expect him back at some point. So a 12-month recovery from a devastating knee injury would be early November. So obviously now, Chris, you got to go out and sign a starting inside linebacker, a three-down inside linebacker in free agency, or you got to spend a high draft pick on one. And I don't think you do that in the first round, but
no,
maybe you do that second or third round. Chris, look at it. You have a Landon Roberts and Mark Robinson on this roster. They're downhill, run-stopping linebackers. You don't want those guys in coverage, okay? Roberts played there out of necessity last year. He had to play three downs when everyone's injured, but that's not how he's going to help the team most. If you need a three-down inside linebacker, you're either going to have to spend some money in free agency and go get that guy like they did last year with Holcomb, or you got to invest a high draft pick in a guy like Peyton Wilson or Jeremiah Trotter Jr. or Edgerrin Cooper or any of those guys who were up on the podiums yesterday. So it's a little bit of a dilemma. Again, I think that's something more that we learned this week, that Mike Tomlin didn't shed a lot of light on that a few days after the season ended, but Omar did a little bit more. I think it's going to be well into October or November until we see Holcomb. And I think that's a problem for the Steelers as they try to, you know, prepare for free agency and the draft here.
It is, and I believe that at this time we're recording, I think all the events that were for the linebackers are done. But and looking at the 40-yard dash, the top guy there is Peyton Wilson out of NC State with a 4.43 40-yard dash. That is very fast for a 6'4 linebacker. Granted, he has a serious injury history.
Yeah,
but that's impressive.
I mean, he's a big dude, Chris. I was at his podium yesterday. That is freaky fast for a guy who is that big. Two ACL tears in his history, one in high school, I think one early in college, and then a fairly serious shoulder injury in 2021. So, yeah, I mean, that injury history is there. So, again, you have to weigh the risk. When is the right time to pick a guy like Peyton Wilson? Maybe he's got a second-round grade, but you have to weigh the injury history. Can you maybe get him in a bargain like in the third round? Or, you know, you just have to figure that out. So he's an interesting guy. I mean, he was good when he was healthy, but he wasn't healthy a whole heck of a lot for the Wolfpack at NC State.
Right. And, I mean, we've seen injury impact draft stocks. Look at Darnell Washington. Everyone was talking about his knee injuries. And, you know, before going into the draft process, before people were talking about the injuries, they were talking about maybe he's a second round pick. You know, there are some people saying he should be a first round pick. And I was like, okay, that's a little much. But like, still, they were higher talk. The Steelers were able to trade down in the third and still get him. So, you know, granted, I think Darnell Washington's a bit different of a prospect than Peyton Wilson. Peyton Wilson's like a proven starting linebacker. Darnell Washington was more of like, you know, one of the later options in Georgia's offense in that season. But still, I'm right with you. If Peyton Wilson falls a bit, it could make it an interesting get for the Steelers, because that's the thing. If you spend a second round pick to get a Peyton Wilson, you know, if he's healthy, it's a great pick, in my opinion. Yeah. I think he turns into that guy. But if he's not, then you've burned a second round pick on another linebacker that's going to be out for a lot of games.
Yep. That's why those guys get paid the big bucks, Chris. Those are hard roster decisions that they're going through right now. Hey, listen, maybe it's an easy decision. Maybe the doctors looked at him and say, boom, he's good to go. Or maybe they said, he's going to play 5 years in the NFL and that's it. So they know, okay, third round or after or whatever. So those are, you know, they have all this information. We don't, we're trying to speculate, but really after this week, they're going to have a much better idea of where they are with these prospects and where they're going to be on their big board.
Absolutely. And another thing about this too, like we talked to a lot of the linebackers. The Steelers are visiting with a lot of these top linebackers, not all of the linebackers, like, you know, Tommy Eichenberg might be like one of the few like lower level linebackers that would be like a mid to late day three pick. But like you talk to those guys, I think Peyton Wilson, they hadn't officially met with him yet by the time we talked to him. But Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Edgerrin Cooper, Cedric Gray, there are a bunch of those guys that are being, because Junior Colson, a major one in Junior Colson, all of those guys. We talked to Mike Tomlin. We liked Mike Tomlin. We liked the Steelers. We appreciated those conversations. I think it's very clear that they want to get a linebacker. Ray, the last time they hit at linebacker in the draft was Ryan Shazier. That's a long time ago. Is that 10 years now? That's 10 years since they really hit at the position in the draft.
2014, that's exactly a decade ago. And, you hate to go back and look at it, but how much different would it be right now? Obviously, Ryan wouldn't still be playing. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I mean, maybe he would be. He actually came into the league pretty young, but mm-hmm. you know, he'd be on the tail end of his career. Everything would have changed. You know, Devin Bush.
They wouldn't have had to pick drafted. Devin Bush.
Yeah. So it's just they've just had terrible luck, really, since 2017. You know, after Ryan, there were stopgap guys, then Devin, more stopgap guys, injuries, guys off the couch. It's been a mess, and I think they're finally going to try to fix it once again here this year, 4 years, actually 5 years after the Devin Bush pick.
We'll see who they try to do that with. We'll keep you up to date with all the things you need to know about the combine and the draft at post-gazette.com with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, thanks so much for tuning into the North Shore Drive podcast. Ray's going to head back. We're gonna do one more episode for the Monday episode where I think I'm going to still be in Indy because I got to talk to some Pitt players. We're talking at the end of the week, but we're not done talking about the combine. It's on the Post Gazette. Get all of our reactions to more on what Omar Khan said from Ray and Jerry, who've been here. And then we'll also be taking a closer look at all the different prospects who are getting through their events throughout the weekend at the combine. From Chris and Ray, thanks so much for tuning into the show. We'll see you Monday here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.